This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of Counterpart. We are talking everything Quail and Claire, and of course, that massive shootout. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I hate this music.
I know, it's so sad.
But this just happens to be my favorite episode, the show.
I feel like this is the one episode where the theme song actually matches.
Yes.
What's going on?
Yeah, right. Because it's a lot going on.
Yeah, it was so much, and I know you guys saw it and thought it was so much. Like there was so much to keep up with on this episode, which is episode 9, No Man's Land, Counterpart on Starz. Thank you for joining us for another episode. I am Ashley Allen, panelist. Introduce yourselves.
I am Taquayla. I've been gone a long time, but I'm back. Thank you, ladies, for catching me up on everything. You can follow me at Taquayla_IAM.
And I'm Portia Carter, everybody. I'm back.
All right. So before we jump into the episode, let's get into overall thoughts. Again, there was so much stuff that happened, but what was one thing that kind of stuck out for you guys?
I think from first start, my overall thought is these women are powerful.
Yes.
These women have these men crumbling at their knees, like into their hands. Everybody is acting up because of their woman. Think about it. Quail would not have lied on Howard Silk if it wasn't for Claire getting in his head. It wasn't for her. And then parts of him really do love her.
Yeah.
Like, because just a couple of days ago, he found out that this wasn't the woman that he fell in love with, that he married. Even though he cheated on, he still loved her. And it was just crazy to even see that dynamic of, because he loves her, he can't really be mad at her. And so now she got him playing this little fiddle thing.
Yeah.
And then both of the Emilys got both of the Howards on whatever they own.
Yeah.
And they others. Homeboy that the Emily Silk was sleeping with.
Andre.
Like, they got them all wrapped around their fingers. Hey. And I'm just like, these women got power. And you can really see the dynamic between the women and the men in this show, because the men get really weak when it comes to them.
Right.
And I'm just like, dang, they love them.
Yeah, they do.
I think for me, the turn of events have been Quail. I feel like we're still going to see him go through a couple of different emotions from the shock of finding out who his wife actually is.
Yeah.
But I was with him at first. I wanted him to be pissed. I wanted him to be mad at her. But then just to see that the love part is still there. And love is a strong drug, as some people say. It just has a really love attached to people. So just to see how now he set Howard up and he's trying to still stay on their side and be
even
with
though
her
he mad at her, he's still protecting her.
It's still
that's crazy.
That's
love.
Love
that's
is dangerous.
It's love. That's
she said
what
love
it is.
Is dangerous. Yes.
Love is
I agree.
Dangerous. Love is a drug.
It have you it on is. Some crazy stuff.
It that's, really does.
Somebody's song says that. It'll come to me later. But
we've had a million songs that say that, because it's true.
Yes.
And I mean, it's something that we've definitely seen, like you guys said, time and time again in this show, but specifically this episode, we've really seen how toxic love can be. So let's jump right into Quail and Claire, because I think they've been the prime example of how love can either destroy you or it can be good. In this case, I think it's almost a mix of both, because it's nice seeing him trying to protect her, but at the same time,
she's
playing him. He's putting himself out there on the line, because just like, you know, Howard said, Aldrich is only going to believe you for so long. Mm-hmm. He's going to know that you're lying. And he has no poker face. He has the worst.
He's stupid.
Right. He is dumb. Like, he's not a good liar. He's even said in himself some past episodes, he's not fit for this job. So it's just really frustrating me seeing him trying to take on and trying to solve all this himself. And it's just crumbling in his face.
I think what his thing is, when she gave him that little spiel about, you know, if you report me, then we both got to go down. Mm-hmm. Like, when that happened, I think what clicked for him was her mentioning the baby.
The baby. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he's like, because this baby is filled with both worlds, he don't know which world is going to be able to have her. And he definitely don't want her growing up on the other side, because clearly they messed up in the head. And he see that with, you know, his wife or wife that wasn't supposed to be the wife, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, if I was in his position, I'd probably be acting crazy too. I mean, I would be acting crazy, but I would be acting.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Crazy towards her, and I wouldn't listen to anything that she's saying, but he's so much in love with her to everything that she says gets to his mind.
Yeah.
And it grab him, and it's just like, oh my God, like, how are you gonna get out of this? Because now you're making a bigger mess.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
But see, I think the thing that's really irritating for me is, you know, he has been cheating on her this entire time, even before they got married. So, a small part of me...
Because she didn't want to marry him.
No.
Her real self was like,
a small part of me is like, do you even have the right to be, you know, mad at her and all this stuff like that? But the more logical side of me is like, I completely understand why he feels betrayed, because she's not just doing this to him. She's doing this to the existence of everyone over there.
His life, his company.
She's using him.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, if he didn't really put the pieces together in-house, he would have been the one to take the fall for all of this. And who would have thought your own wife would have been the one to set you up? So,
but isn't she also getting part of her, if she could be the human part of her, that family, that atmosphere that she's always someone to love her, someone to care for her, and she's had that no matter how illogical we may or may not think it was, but between her and Quail, and then once the baby was born. So she's kind of also has a lot at stake that could be lost for her as well, too. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, because she mentioned that, you know, my entire life I've been trained and groomed to be this boring or this person that, you know, that my side has always wanted me to be. I've never had a chance to have anything of my own or be my own, have my own experiences. And when she had the baby, that was the first time she had something that only belonged to her, didn't belong to either side. It was something that she could hold on to and call hers. So I definitely understand her emotion as far as that. And that emotional connection, that's what brings her and Quill together, even though I think she has love for him. She loves him because he's the father of her child, but she doesn't really, like, love him.
At this point, I feel like she's just trying to complete the mission. Because, you know, yes, she does, you know, want something of her own. So she has her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I got my baby and I got this man wrapped around my finger.
Yeah.
Cool. So she got everything she want, but she's more concerned about getting the mission complete, because at the end of the day, she let her pill expire and she didn't follow protocol. When you get found out, take that pill.
Yeah.
So since she didn't follow protocol, if it goes haywire on her part, they're going to take her out. Like, she's next on the kill list. And so in order to save herself, she has to make him act the way he want to act and then save her baby at the same time and then complete the mission so that she's not at fault, and whatever Pope wanted to do, everything is complete and done.
Okay, so if you think... So since you say that it's all about the mission, so we did see her. She's playing this tug of war throughout this episode.
I mean,
we see her going back and forth. So she did call, you know, she did return Baldwin's phone call, you know, to go ahead and take out
kill Howard Silk, because he gave him info.
But on the other hand, we also saw her tell Quail not to go to work. She's like, I can't
tell
you
why. Because she knew what was going on.
But if it was all about the mission, why would she tell him not to go to work so that he wouldn't get killed? So I think she's having
because they all got to protect each other in order for this thing to work.
She doesn't need him though. Not anymore.
I don't think so.
I was going to agree too. Yeah. Because what is his purpose at this point now? Because they know he's the mole, or it's going to be found out at least from Aldra's part eventually. But at this point, she's gotten what she's wanted from. She's gotten all the information and everything she needs from him. So he's pointless at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think he's needed anymore.
The main mission is about to happen. You know, so she really didn't have to save him, but she chose to save him because he was on his way into the office. She could have just
let him go. He been saving her too. Like, he haven't been giving her up either. They probably playing tit for tat on this. Like, at the end of the day, they probably do need each other. Whether we can see how that's going to work out or play out or whatever at the end. But right now, like, I feel like she got to carry out what's going on, and regardless of, you know, and this baby story, she done told it real good twice. So I'm like, maybe she rehearsed that line for when she got caught.
She knows what she's doing because
she done played that role real quick twice. She said it both the same time each time, and it was emotional both times. I almost cried. So I'm just like, I'm serious. So I'm just like, girl, you real good with your little line.
So let's get into their car crash. I just want to say, first of all, that Quail is a complete mess. This man needs to get his life together.
Like a mess.
He is just falling apart, and we see them. He's trying to kill both of them, and crashes the car into what looks like a dumpster or something like that. I'm just really trying to understand his thought process. And
I feel like because she got in his head and she was like, we in this together. So he like, okay, if we in this together, we got to die together. So I'm going to take us together. Both out. I don't know. That's crazy.
I can't say that I am too surprised. I needed something drastic for him. You know how you find out something devastating. You go through just different levels of emotion.
Yeah.
Of outrage, of hurt, pain, whatever those levels are. So I feel like I kind of was in agreement with him. After so long, regardless if I've been sleeping with other women or not, you have lied to me our whole relationship. I didn't know this was true. I'm going to lose my mind. And if at some point I'm going to black out, and if I'm not going to try to take both of us out at that same time, or just going to be you or something, I feel like it's warranted. So I was actually excited about that part.
Okay.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah, I was like, get her.
I was sad.
I don't know. Like, a small part of me is
I just wish he told Aldrich the truth. That's it.
Yeah, that's what I wish.
Same. I just wish he could really tell him, like, hey, it's my wife. Like, you doing all this lying and causing all this commotion and stuff. And now they can't even prepare for what was about to happen.
Not only that, but he would have had still a small chance to save himself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And save his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you tell the truth, they're still going to give you a chance. Of course, they're going to, you know, let you take your child, because the mother of your child is a spy. So,
right.
I don't understand. I didn't understand that part. But, of course, like we said, love is what
messes. And this show creates trust issues, okay?
Because
everybody got trust issues. Yes. Like, she don't trust Quail. Quail don't trust him. Quail don't trust Aldrich. Ian don't trust Emily. Everybody lying.
for yourself.
Except Howard Silk.
Yeah, he's just
doesn't know still.
But he's finding out so much stuff. Like, he blew up when he found out it was Pope and Pope and Casper who set that up for Emily to get hit. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
He ain't even care that she was a spy, that he just found that out. He didn't care that he found out all this information, that she is aligned with what's going on, that she in this thing. Mm-hmm. He's just like, oh, so y'all the ones who tried to take her out.
That's all that matters at this time. You know, so much stuff has happened. And we're all going through this because we're trying to figure out what happened to Emily Silk. So now that we get to this point, we find out that you were one of the people behind it. None of the other stuff.
I swear, he loves her flaws. He loves her flaws and
all. Exactly, he does.
Like, I was gonna say.
Oh man,
yeah. I think one relationship that we're seeing blossom, which I'm kind of surprised about, is Baldwin and Greta. Greta is the bartender that we saw her meet a few episodes ago. And they're kind of building a little bond together, and we see them out shopping, And one of Nadia, which is Baldwin's counterpart,
Nadia's
her ex-girlfriend spots him in the store, and she's like, Nadia, what are you doing here? Is this a joke?
She feel like she faked her death.
Yeah.
I'm just like, to get out of their relationship.
You were at the funeral. You said a speech. You saw her get put in the ground. I don't understand. I mean, I understand.
Maybe they had a close shock, casket.
But I'm just like, what?
Where'd it come from?
It was weird.
It was a little weird. I almost feel like that was one scene that could have been cut out of this episode. I just didn't feel like it was really that relevant.
Well, it was relevant enough to show us that Baldwin cares so much about this girl that she's seeing. Like, she's slowly starting to open up to her because Greta had basically made her feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, she made her feel comfortable. She made her come back to her. So at this point, if Greta could get in her heart, then she can get into her world. And what it's showing is, you know, Baldwin is at risk with being in a relationship.
That's
exactly what it's saying. Because if we see her ex-girlfriend, well, Nadia's ex-girlfriend, come up and recognize her, then it once opens Greta's eyes like, okay, do she have a lookalike? Do she have a twin? Because why do this girl know you?
But she doesn't, she doesn't know about the other side.
She don't.
The normal citizens
But
don't.
This is why Baldwin is put at risk, because she can know about the other side instantly dealing with her.
Okay.
That's the only thing that I'm not, I'm very
And she
cautious.
Got a lot of questions. She ain't like Howard Silk to just sit back and let some stuff ride.
Right.
She got a lot of questions. She needs to know what's going on. And she's trying to get into her heart.
As much as I do want Baldwin to end up happy, at peace, some of that anger inside of her to be dismantled.
Yeah.
This relationship has me scared. I don't know if Greta somehow is going to be intertwined in it all, and maybe she could be
turned
on.
Oh, that would hurt my whole feeling.
Exactly. I know.
That's why I'm scared. Like, I don't,
that
I mean,
would hurt
as
my
much
whole
as I love
feelings.
Seeing them in the relationship, I don't know what Greta's end is. And also throughout this whole series thus far, I'm like, there's somewhere, I'm always thinking everybody has an other. I don't think there's a normal citizen. So I think somebody always has the other, too. So I don't, the girlfriend that's seen, the ex-girlfriend who's seen Baldwin, I just don't think she realizes yet about the other side. And hopefully that won't come out. But you have a great point that that is her prime way, her only way.
That's to her detriment, to be in this close relationship.
Was to let Baldwin know you're getting too comfortable. And I don't want that to happen to her. So
yeah, because she even, like, when she killing people, she even feeling sad about it because she got to go back home to somebody who's joyful and positive and happy, somebody who can really change her life.
Yes.
And she's handling this. Like, she didn't even want to take the kill Howard Silk offer. She like, nah, you going to have to up that up $100,000 because that's a lot for me.
Yeah.
You know?
And honestly, I feel like because she has had interaction with Howard Silk when her other passed away, I don't think she would kill him.
I didn't think so either, because she let him go, was it 2 times so far this season? 2 or 3 times?
Well, Howard Silk was the one who tried to save her other. He tried to stop them from doing it, because even when they sat in the little interrogation room with each other for all that time, the only thing she basically said to him was, you tried to save her. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Right.
And she's like, you nothing like him.
Yeah,
like,
so I think when and if we ever get Baldwin and Howard Silk back in the same room, I don't think that she's going to take the opportunity to kill them.
I'm in agreement with you on that.
I don't think she would. Yeah. So again, I'm liking the interaction that we're starting to see with Howard Silk, Ian, and Emily Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I really enjoyed seeing them all work together, but of course,
something
the good
had
stuff
to
is
ruin
only going
to
last
course.
For so long, and we saw that Ian actually met with Pope and confronted him about his friend Casper and how he's working for him and things like that. And Pope being, I think Pope might be the pettiest person on this cast.
He's like, super petty.
Yeah, he's very petty.
He done visited all of them to tell them something about the other person that was negative.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just love how he, you know, when someone comes to him with tea, he's like, oh, but I got something better.
Because he's trying to destroy the team.
By the way, you know, do you really think that your wife doesn't still love him? And do you really think that that's really her husband? You know, and I'm thinking, part of me was like, okay, Ian, how did you not figure this out
beforehand
already?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side, he, even though he knows Prime, he doesn't know him that well to be like, you're a little different.
No, he has realized that he has been acting funny.
Yeah.
He realized that he passed a lie detector test with flying colors, saying he don't know nothing, because he really don't know nothing. And so I think what basically what Alexander Pope told him is true. You love her so much that you want her to be open with you and tell you the truth.
Absolutely.
But you expecting her to do that, but she don't even trust you. That's basically what he's saying. And so, and instead of, that's why I was so shocked when it all went down, you know, at the little train station. Like, instead of him being open and talking to her, because he started off the conversation.
You were shocked?
Yeah, because he started off the conversation, and I think they are about to talk about, you know, this man, first of all, y'all just had a whole fallout over here by the polls. Yeah. So something going on between y'all. This man is not Howard Prime, it's Howard Silk. So why didn't you tell me that? But instead, you know, he went on with this little passive thing he had going on. Then he like, you know, you can talk to me, right? And she like, I know. End of story. Like, you still waiting on her? Why didn't you just bring it up?
But see, I don't think it's so much of him waiting on her. That was a test. This time was a deliberate test.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay.
To see if Pope was telling the truth, and to see if she really going to tell him. And it's almost like, you know, for example, I'll use women, for example. You mm-hmm. know, if we find out something about a man, we won't confront him right away. You know, we'll do some investigation.
Yeah, right.
we'll start collecting the receipts and stuff like that. He's collecting the receipts on Emily so that when the time comes, boom, he can put it right there on the table and have everything spread out, and she's just sitting there with her jaw on the ground. Uh-huh. That's what he's doing.
When girls be like, I need to get all the evidence. She said, no, I'm collecting these receipts.
Uh-huh. He's collecting all the evidence so he can just drop it right on her at one time.
Wow.
And I honestly think that might be the smartest way to handle her, because again, like we've seen women, she might work him over. Oh, it's not what you've seen. And, you know, we saw her kiss his hand.
And I trust you.
So... But he's no, really at getting to know her.
But this fool just thumped up talking about, I need to go home. Ain't no coming back from that.
Howard?
Yeah, like, I know Ian heard that man. I know he saw what just went down.
Of course he
like,
did.
No, you know that he's not, now y'all need to talk about it, because now you know for sure. This man said, I need to go home. What home you talking about?
I don't think that this is the
time. Ain't it obvious?
I don't think this is the time and the place for Ian. I'm glad he's holding on to it. This is not the time to play.
It makes me uncomfortable right now. It makes me uncomfortable because I'm just like, y'all got a lot of tension going on. Y'all need to get off this because it's coming through the screen.
Only you.
Right.
You need to let it go.
Yeah.
Let
it out. He needs a hug.
He do.
He needs a woman that's really going to appreciate
that
him.
That really loves him.
Because
he's a good man. And he's a protector. And he's trying to figure this out because he want at least them to be safe. You know, like, he don't want it all crashing down.
Yeah.
And then knowing that his girl is in the middle of it, you know. He want to protect her. And she's not allowing him to do that.
Yes. I think it's also really sad to watch because you see the chemistry between her and Howard and how
they're
giggling and they're laughing, but at the end of the day, it's not real. She's not, just like Howard said, you're not my wife, you know, you're not the woman that I've been in love with for 30 years. You know, I see that woman when I look at you, but in reality,
you're not her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
like that's what Teron was talking about when he was like, you so geek about them now.
Yeah.
About how, because I was lit for them. Like, yes, he got him a real Emily that's woke. No. They can do stuff. Like, they can have fun. Woke. You know, that was disrespectful, huh? No, but yeah, I'm like, they can do something. He like, no, that's falling in love with a fake world. Eventually, he's going to come to terms with this. It's not it. And Teron was right. So, shout out to him. Give him his props. But yeah, I just, at this point, that's what's happening. And she can't contain it. She can't contain it. But at the end of the day, they love them some Emily's.
They do.
So we don't know what's going to happen.
And I will give, I feel like every week I give one of my favorite quotes. So one of my favorite quotes this week was, we only see the parts of people that we want to see, or the parts of people that we love. And that's definitely something very true in this episode. Do you guys think that's true? What do you feel about that quote?
I agree. I think that if we go back to Emily and Ian, I feel like that relationship, even since it came on screen, that it's always been one side. It's always been Ian wanting more from Emily and Emily not giving it to him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's the fact that she just doesn't love him, or she needed him just because of his status in the agency on their side, or whatever it may have been, someone she was comfortable with or could just go to after her and Prime just fell off. But I feel like he sees her, but she doesn't see him. And he sees her potential, what he could maybe love about her, but she's not allowing all of that to flourish through for them to actually be in a real loving relationship. So I think that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true for me too.
Yeah.
And just on a personal level, because, you know, you meet people and you love them and you love them for who they are. And no matter what they do, no matter how they make you feel insecure, no matter what they say to you, no matter if they feel like you're not enough, you're going to think they're everything because of one thing that you love about them. You can take one thing you love about them and eat it and bury it so deep in your heart to where that's the thing that keep y'all in a relationship or a situationship, even if it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
And that's how it has
potential. We fall in love with the person that someone could or they used to be.
Yeah.
And not who they really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. And that quote hit hard.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
You got to just start seeing people for who they are out here, because you never know who you love or who you're falling in love with or who you're just building relationships and friendships with.
Yeah.
You don't really know these people until you know these people. And then when you know these people, are you going to take the good and the bad, the ugly and the beautiful? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to just choose all of the good sides and ignore the wrong sides to your detriment because you don't know what this person could be to you, you know, if they could be holding you back or pushing you forward. So until you know, it's like, chill out on falling in love and being all of that, because you only see what you want to see.
Exactly.
So with that, just a quick question from what you just based that off on, how would you, if you were in Quell's shoes, deal with Claire?
Ooh. Yeah, see, he's doing that. He's on that, seeing what he want to see. So he he sees the protector in her. He sees the mother and the wife. And then he sees how good she is to get in his mind. It blinds everything. Listen. And it's to his detriment because he's lying on people. He lying, talking about he got break-ins. And then he's, you know, trying to kill both of them by committing a homicide, suicide, all in one. And it's just like, that love is strong, and I honestly wouldn't know what to do in his shoes because, you know, he's so blinded. I'm just like, you know, but with me, if I love those things about somebody, I would have those same blind spots, and it would be to my detriment, you know?
Well, you're human. We all have those emotions. We've all gone through that at some point, but if I was Quill, I'm turning her in. I'm going to get my kid. I'm going to tell the truth. And, you know, she's my wife. She's the mother of my child. But you're also a spy. And you
become against me.
Yeah, if I was Quill, I would have at least told Aldrich the truth. Even if I, you know, faked on everybody else because I loved her, I'm going to tell Aldrich because this is the man that I've been working with for the past, you know, 10-something years. Like, this man knows me. He knows what's going on. He at the top with everybody else. If you at the top, then you know the top can protect you. So
exactly.
You need to tell him. Like, I would have told Aldrich because Aldrich need to protect him. And now he the guy. I feel like if he would have told Aldrich, the shootout wouldn't have happened.
No, I definitely feel like the shootout.
I think it would have got to. I think they would have got to them before it happened because Howard Prime already had the names because he got them from Howard Silk. He already had the names of the three people that was about to do all that. He could have sent all his team out and found them quick. It would have been a wrap. Like, I don't think it would have went down.
Okay, so I mean, what did you guys think about the shootout scene? It was very action packed, very good to watch, but it also almost made me sad because
those people died.
I don't know. It was just kind of like a reminder of what's been going on in real life with these
school shootings. I felt like I was watching the school shooting.
You know, I did too. Because, you know, while they were standing up on the desk, I noticed that they weren't just shooting everyone in sight. It almost felt like they were picking people.
Pinpointing people,
And I was trying to figure out, like, why? Who are these people? Why are they shooting this person versus not the other one?
Those are people they about to send over?
Very intense. Of course, action-packed, good for the show, but It was kind of intense. It was a lot to watch.
Yeah, I really felt like I was watching a school shooting. It was because, like, you know, on the school shootings in the news and on social media, they actually have video footage. And that looked like some of the footage that would be going on. Like, you hear this gun just going, like, and going and going and going. And it's just, like, people screaming, everybody falling. It's just, like, I'm sitting here watching it. And it was really painful for me because I'm like, dang, all these people dying. They got to die.
Yeah.
Like, only one person was saved. And Howard Prime was only able to help him down some stairs. Like, it's just, it was really creepy.
It was tough. Right?
It was tough, I was sad because of all these people dying. But then I'm just like, I was happy when the assassins started getting start getting taken out. Like, when Howard Prime shot Homegirl in the head, I was super happy. Like, oh, she can die.
And I just thought it was very interesting to see, you know, their facial expressions, you know, throughout the shooting. They didn't have any facial expressions. They were like robots. You know, they didn't look upset. They didn't look happy. They were just...
They were trained to do shooting. That.
Yeah, it was just very strange to watch how emotionally disconnected they were from what they were doing in the moment.
But that's just like what it goes back to Claire's principle. You can't have emotions in this job.
Exactly.
She already let her know, like, your emotions, swallow them because you can't have them.
Yeah.
You're going to... Yes. So little do we know, like, Claire probably got this little story about this baby because she trying to throw some emotion out there that ain't even there. And she done rehearsed it. She said it twice the same way both times. So she probably feels nothing. She probably just knowing that if I get to him, he's going to save me.
Oh, yeah. True. Definitely. Well, let's get into some predictions. Next week is the finale. So I love to hear what you guys think is going to happen next.
Yeah. Or in 2 weeks.
Or, Smile, Portia.
I'm seeing it all.
I was thinking. I had really got into deep thought. Because I'm like, dang, what's about to happen? What's about to happen?
Right. So let's hear you guys' predictions really quick. We have some other things to get into.
Portia can go first.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to try to just throw some stuff out there because, like, this... it put me in a shock. It was my favorite episode because I actually seen what they have been investigating and trying to prevent from the beginning actually happen.
Okay.
And so now I'm at this point where, like, dang. So, homeboy that did not make it across the border. Well, he made it into the border. Don't know how far he's going to make it across. Nobody can touch him because he's on safe ground.
Yes.
So, I don't know if he's going to stand there and bleed out or if somebody from the other side going to come back and get him and find him and bring him in. But... either way it go, that's not the end of him. We're going to find out what happens to him next.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, Silk, and Aldridge and all of them, they're going to come for Quill. Like, they're going to come for him. And I really believe he's going to be in a coma or something.
Okay.
He's going to be in a coma or something. Claire is going to be hurt and Baldwin's going to try to save her. What else? Oh, on the other side, Ian and Emily probably going to get into it and be neck and neck. And Howard is not going to be able to go home.
Okay.
Oh, I was wondering about that, too, because I was like, his visa or his time over there
is
suspended. I think it's already passed.
Well, they suspended his visa, and that he was just going to try to... Prime was going to try to get it reinstated so that they could switch back.
Can come through. Yeah, yeah, I don't... I think they're going to have complications when that part... and that time comes.
He's not going back home.
I don't think so, either.
Because even Prime threatened him in the one before that, before he left, he said... I'm going to come home. You're not going to stay in my world. And I think he's going to have to stay.
Something's going to be prolonged. I think Quail is going to be found out. Somehow Prime's going to work his magic and Aldrich is going to believe him. They're going to come after not only Quail, but Claire too. We'll see how that plays out. And then I'm just cautious and nervous of Baldwin. I don't know why I'm like drawn and attached to her. I want her to win in this life of theirs.
Okay.
But I don't think her in a relationship is good. I unfortunately don't think she needs to be in a relationship here, because if she's not the assassinator, somebody's coming after her.
Right.
And relationships are going to make her forget about all of that.
Yeah.
So that her and Greta, something's going to happen to where she's going to have to choose to leave Greta unknowingly, or Greta's just going to be disappointed about that. And we're going to see her break down and then come back into the assassinator. I don't think she's going to go after Howard Silk. I think maybe they might end up teaming up somehow at the end. But that's all I have for right now.
Okay. I think that Quail and Claire are going to survive this car crash. But I almost feel like even if Quail does tell the truth at this point, he's going to be punished for withholding information.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said, all of this could have at least been prevented or whatever if he would have told the truth from the beginning. I'm kind of hoping that Baldwin takes out Claire by... the end of this season. Yeah. I would love to see that throwdown situation happen.
Yeah.
Howard Silk, I want him to come home, but when he comes home, I want him to keep up, you know, the backbone and everything that he's built on the other side. I almost kind of want him to leave Emily. I want to see him. I want to see him build a whole new life on his own. And I don't know. I'm not wishing anything bad for Howard Prime. But I'm wanting him to learn a hard lesson because it's clear that he hasn't learned anything since he's been through all of this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I think that's all of my predictions for this point. But we do have some news and gossip to share with you guys this episode.
Make it good, girl.
All right, so I know that you guys are as excited about season 2 of Counterpart as I am, right?
Yes, of course. We haven't even closed out season 1, though.
We haven't.
I can't believe it's coming to an end that fast.
That was fast. It really was. Yeah.
But they're already in the works, working on the production for season 2 of Counterpart. Yes. And there's a new addition added to the cast. You guys have seen her in the movie Get Out that has caused a lot of controversy, a lot of talk this season. Betty Gabriel, who was in the movie Get Out, she is joining the cast of Counterpart Season 2. Round of applause for her. That's going to be a great addition to the cast. She did a great job in Get Out and a few of her other projects. So I can't wait to see her and who she's going to be.
Hopefully maybe she don't be quiet or stuck or trapped inside.
Maybe we could see a new love interest for Ian or somebody.
Wasn't that the one who played the old lady on Get Out?
Yeah, but she was young, remember? We'll have to watch it.
We'll have to see.
But yeah, so she's joining the cast of Counterpart Season 2. Make sure that you guys stay tuned. We will continue to bring you new news and gossip, even though next week is the season finale. Well, 2 weeks is the season finale of Counterpart. I can't believe that it's gone this far.
It's fast. You think it's going to be 2 hours?
It did.
No.
I don't know.
Oh, we'll see. It ain't going to do us like that?
You never know. You never know. All right, guys. Make sure you comment, like, subscribe on our videos. We do read. Make sure you tweet us. Tweet AfterBuzz, everything. And I am your host, Ashley Allen. Make sure you follow me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
Again, thanks for tuning in tonight. I am Taquayla. You can find me on all social media at Taquayla_IAM.
Thanks for watching, y'all. It's Portia Carter. You can find me everywhere at Portia Carter. We out.
See ya. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.